Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
We all know the importance of reconciliation. Where are we, though, post the referendum, and what are we doing towards reconciliation? We're fortunate today to be joined by CEO of Reconciliation SA, Jason Downes. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you.
And I thought I'd start with a leading question.
Go for it. Let's jump in.
So where are we now post the referendum? What work, what understanding is there that needs to be done to move us closer?
Yeah. Referendum was one of those moments in time for not just us as an organisation, but for the movement. So Reconciliation is a people's movement, and it's not reliant on any one organisation to be doing the lifting there. So there were people at the time of the referendum that said reconciliation is dead. There were people that said we need to reframe reconciliation. And that's where we're sitting as an organisation, that reconciliation needs to be more deliberate, more genuine and more authentic. And there's a lot of work to do, and we're going to focus a lot on education, awareness, and creating a deeper understanding.
Jason, I'm really interested to hear you use the word authentic, because we all want authenticity in all things. And the worst thing is to have lip service for anything.
Mm.
So what does bring authentic reconciliation in your mind?
I could put 100 people in the room and everyone would say authentic is very different. And, you know, to play on words, authentic is predominantly about being genuine in conversations. Being open and curious is a critical element in creating that understanding. It's about accepting and understanding the historical issues that have brought us to where we are today. And I'm talking about 200 plus years of historical issues. And it's about acknowledging organisational roles. And it's about acknowledging our roles as individuals, as human beings, not just as me as the CEO, or not your listeners as the leaders that they are. But it's about everybody taking some responsibility. And, you know, I love the word curious. It's one of my favourite values. And that's where I think we're going to make the greatest change, is exploring and understanding that deep history that exists.
Jason, do you think that there's an opportunity to move towards what I would call normality? And what I mean by that is where I see sometimes that people are fearful. So they're so careful, and it's just... Is that right? Is that fear, rather than just being it is as it is, we're all, this is just normal.
Yep.
And I don't think we're there.
Yep. So again, normal's one of those words. Let's be careful there. But we have fear zones. We have learning zones. And it's okay to get it wrong, right?
Well, that's what I'm wanting to hear, because I think
okay
people are
okay to get
fearful.
It wrong. And that's how we learn, right? We learn deeper and quicker when we get it wrong or when we're called out. Again, there's an honesty in that. And there's getting it wrong because you don't know, or there's getting it wrong because you don't want to know. And it's where the you don't want to know, or you think you know everything, that I think we've got to start to unpack getting it wrong. When you talk about people that say, you know, that didn't happen, or that's not correct, we need to unpack why that is. And that's often judgment related rather than that curiosity.
Jason, we've just come off of Reconciliation Week.
Yeah.
Was that different because of the referendum result? Did people try harder? Did you see more action? Did you see less? Where did it stand from your point of view?
It was really, we had both sides of the coin, frankly. I'd come into the role in April of last year. And then a couple of weeks later, we had our breakfast for Reconciliation 2023. And that was an amazing event. And then we all marched towards October 14 and the referendum. And you got a sense from community that this was a great opportunity for change and for doing better. And obviously that didn't work out. And there will be reports and studies and universities digging into this for years to come. The reality is that we didn't get the change that we were all sort of hoping for. And the Reconciliation Week this week, there was a nervous energy around it. We weren't sure that the breakfast that we have planned was going to attract sponsorships. We weren't sure that we were going to have people coming to our event. And on both those measures, results exceeded expectations. So we had this outpouring of allies and supporters that did want to sponsor the breakfast. And we had a lovely problem to have where we had too many people that wanted to come to our breakfast. It was our largest
nice place
one.
To be.
2,800 people came for breakfast That's at the brilliant. Convention Centre. It was an amazing event. And plug for us, if you haven't or weren't able to go, you can go to Channel 44 or our website, click on the link, and you can actually watch the breakfast.
That's great. So and what is that website address?
So reconciliationsa.org.au.
Now, Jason, we'll have a lot of our members listen to this, and community centres work very hard on reconciliation action.
Hmm.
But, of course, one of the ways in the past is to have a wrap. However, resource constraints make that very difficult, even though the desire and what was there. What else can centres be doing towards reconciliation besides having this document?
Yep. Reconciliation action plans still have a place. And the conversations that we are now having with people that engage us or want to understand how they fit now is around that authenticity. And we encourage people to look at reconciliation in everything of a core function of an organisation and hardwire those targets. So it's not necessarily about doing everything that you want to do in a reconciliation context. That does take time, effort and resources. I've spent many years on that side trying to deliver on reconciliation plans in state government. But my encouragement on people is to think about the core functions of the organisation and just turning that dial one or two notches with a First Nations lens and then reflecting on how you can do what you do with those things in mind. Reconciliation Australia have got a great framework that's there to be used, but it's a framework, and I'm confident that there is scope for that to be adjusted as we evolve and as we change. The really good thing about what Reconciliation have done, though, is they've got five dimensions that relate to reconciliation, right? And those five dimensions, for those people that don't know, are unity, equity and equality, historical acceptance, institutional integrity and race relations. Now, you can't do one of those five and reconcile, but you need to put energy and effort into all those five. So there's another overlay there for people that don't necessarily feel as though they're either ready for a wrap or they have the resources for a wrap. Explore those dimensions. Go onto the Rec Australia website and explore those dimensions and have some conversations with staff. And then bring in First Nations leaders and start those relationships.
That was the question I was going to ask, Jason, because for a lot of people undertaking a wrap or trying to undertake reconciliation action is we should be engaging First Nations people. Now, let's go and find one and bring them in. That's not quite how it works, is it?
There are recommendations on how we should all do things. And a reconciliation action plan for an organisation is for the organisation to do the heavy lifting. Not for the organisation to find some First Nations staff or leaders outside of the organisation to do all their work for them. That's not in the spirit of what reconciliation and change behaviour is all about. But you can't do it without having that First Nations lens. So there are multiple ways that you can achieve that, having advisory groups, having representatives, calibrating with First Nations staff and having community events to bring the community in and to engage.
I'm talking to Jason Downs, CEO of Reconciliation SA, about that very important topic, reconciliation. Jason, one of the things that comes to my mind when you were talking about hardwiring in reconciliation, it makes me think of quality systems, which I spent a lot of my time putting in. And often staff would say, but we're already doing quality. And that was that thing. But what this is about is, as you say, always having an ever-present, a continuous improvement mindset. This is a little bit like having a reconciliation mindset.
Correct.
Always that overlay.
And I've talked about this. Reconciliation is a behaviour change. And it's an individual behaviour change that then changes an organisation culture, which then reflects on an organisation's growth and maturity. So that's where we need to do the work, and it comes back to education and awareness. And in the broader sense, there's a term that gets used a lot in state and Commonwealth government, ESG, right? Environmental, social and governance. Reconciliation fits in the heart of social capital. And until we land that, I think the word you used before was normalise. Is that right?
Yes.
Until we start to normalise this behaviour of thinking about First Nations engagement, involvement, participation and those consequences, we are going to have this paradox of I'm right, you're wrong, or yes, no.
And that's why I wanted to use the quality parallel.
Yeah, it's a great one.
You may have that.
Thank you. I will write that one down.
Of course we're trying to do quality, but unless we have an upper mind all the time, because we want to improve. We don't just say the status quo.
No.
It's the same with reconciliation. I think people want to see it as, oh, we've done it. Well, no, you're never going to do it. You just keep, it's a journey we're on to continually feel to that point where that normality is, where it's just what we do.
Yep.
Quality is built in, so is reconciliation. That's how I see it.
I'm going to borrow that one. You reminded me, there's a great Gandhi quote, right? It's, there's no pathway to peace. Peace is the pathway.
Exactly.
So
Mother Teresa saying, don't ask me to demonstrate against a war, but I'll certainly step out for peace.
Mm, yeah. And that's the point, is that it's not a journey and a destination, it's a behaviour.
Yeah.
And until we start having those type of mature conversations, and you know, I used to say this when I worked in government, none of us walk past a computer or a PowerPoint that's sparking and smoking, because it's in our brain that that's a risk. Reconciliation is not a risk, it's actually a benefit in a behaviour change. But we don't think about it as a benefit and how we can do better.
And Jason, is it also about that approach? I sat in on a meeting recently and there were two sides. One person saying, we need to involve First Nations people more. We need to ask them what they want. And the other side was saying, if we don't know what they want by now, we're never going to. So why would we be asking? That's what the discussion was
about.
I thought that was quite amazing to be having those sort of discussions in this day and age.
I would have been interested to hear that conversation.
What would you have done if you were sitting there? Because it was a big debate was on. You could imagine one saying, we already know, and one saying, well, how can you say that you know?
Yeah. Look, the referendum failed. The voice referendum failed. South Australia is going through the process of creating a voice to Parliament. Victoria has a voice to Parliament, and Victoria are doing the Yorick Commission right now, which is an extraordinary process of asking and understanding. So it's interesting when people say, if we don't already know, then why should we ask? I'd be bringing into that conversation that First Nations people haven't always had the opportunity, nor have we listened deeply to that impact and those issues that are prevalent in the community.
So let's go to some interesting topics of conversation around this, Jason, because we have seen a lot of issues in communities around Alice Springs.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen a lot of action towards assisting with First Nations, but we don't seem to always get it right. And is it because we're not asking in the right way? Is it because there isn't consistency? If I asked one group of First Nations people, would that be different to another group of First Nations people? Where are we not hitting the mark? Because we're seeing this in behaviour in society as much as we're trying to focus on it.
Yeah. Look, if there's one thing I learnt very early on in my career working across South Australia and then having the joy and opportunity of working in Arnhem Land and Broome and other Aboriginal communities, there's no one size fits all.
Mm.
And that's not just because every First Nations community has different history and different leaders. It's also because the circumstances by which they're at that point in time are very different in terms of government intervention or lack of intervention or infrastructure or employment or health, right? So if we go in thinking, yeah, I've got the recipe because it worked down the road, the scenario up the road will be very different because of the circumstances. So that's part one to it. I think the other part around the issues is that we often see crime as the main focus for discussion, but very rarely do we step back and ask, why is it as high as it is? Or what's going on in that particular community that has driven people to that point where crime is a viable option in a lifestyle choice? So back to my earlier point, I'm not confident that we're going deep enough with those questions and that inquiry around, let's understand why this is happening, not just this is happening, lock everyone up. That is a band-aid solution.
Well, it's not preventive.
I mean, no.
You're never going to get a sustainable Correct. Answer doing that. And Jason, also just talking about this, I often think we don't speak about the individual. It's always the First Nations people, mm-hmm. as if they're a generic.
Yep.
But they're not. There's individuals without. We only have to see the role modelling that's being shown by young people going into sports, going into academic careers. There's some real success stories. That doesn't mean to say that's right for everybody, but my point is, how do they feel about being lumped in as one?
Well, I mean, who likes being labelled as a representative of a majority? And just to that point, one of the absolute joys of my role is getting to meet some incredible First Nations people. We have an Olympian from South Australia who lived and grew up in Davern Park, who is going to the Olympics this year.
That's awesome. I actually didn't know that.
But there's a layer to that. So if we go one step deeper, we don't often see in media those good news stories.
That's what we should be talking to. How did you get there? What was your motivation? How did you rise above those challenges? They've had the same challenges.
Yeah, exactly. So if you had the 10-point plan to fix the world, that would be on there. That would be one of the things. It's let's start highlighting the success of rather than continually pointing to the failures and to the negativity that exists.
And that's what individuals can do because they're only
that's
in control
an ally
of themselves.
Movement, right?
Mm.
There are some people in this country that make a career and a lifestyle out of the negativity and out of highlighting all the bad things that are happening. And I don't buy that as news. I buy that as infotainment.
Well, it's not what sells papers, unfortunately. I often think that reality TV shows have taken over from the Christians and Lions days. That's the way that we, which is sad. And I also look now, isn't it unbelievable that we're sitting here talking and there are two wars going on, one in the Gaza Strip and one in Ukraine with Russia, where human beings are killing each other.
Correct.
We're talking about reconciliation today, and here we are. We've still got humans doing that. So fundamentally, it's a big mountain to be going up, isn't it?
Sadly, yes. Sadly, yes.
I just thought I'd throw that big picture in there.
And look, it is, and there's more than 10 dot points to fix that one, right? But
it is good, but it's that challenge to know this is bigger than just what we're dealing with here.
Correct.
It's about humans treating other humans as they would think would want to be treated themselves.
Exactly, yeah. And we talk about humanity when we have conversations. We go and do some anti-racism training now with corporates and organisations and local government about anti-racism. And we highlight it as a human behaviour and a human rights issue. And, you know, it's the thin edge of the wedge, really. If people are going to start displaying racist behaviours and racist attitudes and it then creeps into the social media and then mainstream media, we're on a trajectory to dividing, right? That's division. Reconciliation is all about bringing people together, and that's what frustrates us, is that reconciliation is not dividing.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at that as a principle, that racism has to go two ways. It can't be from anybody's side.
Mm.
So I get concerned when we see violence demonstrating against violence.
Mm. You can't.
Do you know where I'm heading with this? We've got to get that out of
people's
heads.
You're going deep here. Thanks for asking.
Sorry.
it's where
whilst
our
I've got
head
you,
goes.
Jason, trapped, I wanted to ask these important questions.
It's where we're going, and in that we know that there are people out in the community that display or have a worldview that is, we would hope, uninformed and through lack of education and awareness. And we can work with that. But unfortunately, in any society, there are people out there that are just racist. Racism's a learnt behaviour. That's the really interesting thing. So we work on the theory that if we have to engage in these conversations, and we do, we need to meet it not with judgment, but with that curiosity, because that is how we are going to, and this is something for all of our allies that we talk about, we can't meet that resistance with judgment. We have to be curious, and we have to be open, and we have to educate, and it may take 5, 10, 15 meetings, but if I could just say, we've had some interactions since, back to your earlier point about the referendum, we've had some interactions with individuals, and it's been widely reported in the media, in South Australian media, that we've had 5 local government authorities that have responded to the referendum and are emboldened by withdrawing acknowledgements at meetings. We find that disappointing because you're removing visibility, right? And when you start to remove visibility, you're starting to actually walk down the line of censorship, which is not a comfortable conversation to be having with a leader. So we've actually engaged one of those local government organisations, and we were out there and we had some conversations, and there was a shift in thinking just by meeting with that curiosity, understanding their worldview and sharing a little bit more information.
And having that openness. I mean, all behaviour and attitudes have a purpose.
Yes.
And when you get to the purpose, then you can move to understanding.
Correct.
And then saying, well, here's a piece of information. Perhaps you could consider that.
Yep.
But it is about those conversations.
Totally. It's also about people having some emotional intelligence and understanding their own personal biases. Now, we all have them. And again, that's not a judgment statement by saying everyone has a bias. It's kind of, again, a little bit how we're hardwired as individuals and how we grow up. Some cases it's a defense mechanism. But if we can start to think ourselves about, let's not change the world, but what can I do to change myself to be a better leader in the community? We will get a lot further down the line of reconciliation.
Jason, I'd love just to put to you with our community centres, they are struggling for volunteers. Now, one of the best ways to help yourself is to help others. Do you think there's opportunities for First Nations people to become involved in their communities from a volunteering perspective to create greater shared understanding?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't want to answer on behalf of,
no, of course
of anyone. What I can say, my observation over 30 years is a lot of Aboriginal people that I engage with, work with, laugh with, relax with are really, really busy. And I would know some that would say, I volunteer 10 days a week and I work five. So I think it's an individual choice and how you judge where you put your energy. But there's some great opportunity to be had from having those relationships with your centres. It's really about how we honour that time better.
Well, if I speak to any of our centres, they've had amazing efforts put in by Aboriginal people to assist with setting up men's sheds and women's groups and really quite incredible. But I guess it's supposing, it's wanting them to know that that opportunity is there.
Yep, yep. Look, the greatest way to create change, and I can speak from, 20 years in government, that it is all about the authorising environment. And that doesn't mean that it has to be the CEO that creates that authorising environment. That's on all of us as individuals to be curious, be friendly, create awareness. And, you know, one of my favourite lines as an engagement and facilitation practitioner was, help me to understand. Right, it's disarming, but it also has that curiosity to it. And that brings a different, you move from that polarizing conversation to one of, well, here's what's going on in my world. Tell me what's going on in your world. Our tagline as an organization for reconciliation that we've created is clean, clear and simple. Building relationships, building respect. That will be the pathway that will create deeper conversations and greater reconciliation.
I think that's excellent advice, Jason. And just to finish, Reconciliation SA, what do you want to be known for? What is it that you actually do so that people are really clear on how they can access your services?
Well, that's a lovely question to ask. We're a not-for-profit small organisation. I have right now 8 staff, 3 of them are part-time. So we do a lot of work around the state, or we're trying to do a lot of work around the state. Most of our work is mostly Adelaide Regional Central. What we'd like to be known for is a professional organisation that is genuinely committed to creating change.
I love that. Jason, you've been very generous with your time, and I know that many of our community centre members will be interested in what you've had to say today. And hopefully, in our little conversation, we've been able to share a greater understanding of what reconciliation means and what we can all do as individuals to lead.
That's lovely. Thank you for the time. If your listeners are curious, we have just updated our website and we have some brand new content on there. So it is simply reconciliationsa.org.au. Come and have a look at our website. And if you want to know more, drop us an email, become a member, or you can just subscribe to our monthly newsletters with information and content that is good news stories and about the good changes that are happening.
And that's what we want to have. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jason.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.